Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
All right, welcome everybody to the second hour of Political Coffee today. Great to have you with us so that you, maybe you just get some little tidbit out of the show today or every day. It helps you change your world by giving you things you can talk about, the way you can talk about things. Communicate with people in your world that are persuadable, politically persuadable. It's the only way we're going to change things, truly. Here's what we're talking about, by the way, and I want to get to the rest of this. Has Trump created an enduring populist conservative GOP? Let me say it again. It's the question I'm asking. Has Trump created an enduring populist conservative GOP? Will Trump continue the fight and keep the movement going? Now, the answer to all of that is yes. But only if you are engaged, because it depends on you, folks. You see, after Trump is gone, a populist Republican Party needs to remain powerful and active. You're also the reason Republican conservatives are going to retake control of Congress. And I'm going to explain to you why. These are both Federalist articles today. Also, you need to be aware of House Bill 2543. Denies your right to buy a gun in Oregon because Oregon State Police just can't seem to get to your application. In fact, it's permanent denial. It's unconstitutional. Also, there is a Socialist Rifle Association, no kidding. And I've got a quick comment about that I'll make right now, and then I want to talk about Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy's excuse for why he voted the way he did yesterday and the email I sent him. I'm going to read it to you. The Socialist Rifle Association is real. And I've got the link. It's up on my Facebook page right now. All the stuff is up there. You can see it. Mark Levin said something yesterday about if we get into a shooting war. Was it Levin or was it Sebastian Gorka? I'm trying to remember who I was listening to. At any rate, one of them said that they believed if we ever got into a real shooting civil war in America again, the people on the right have a lot more guns than the people on the left do. I think that's correct. Now, my hope and my prayer is we never get to that place again. And everything I'm talking about today, I believe, is the roadmap, at least in part, how to get there, so that we don't have a shooting civil war. If we do, our side is going to dominate, because we have most of the guns and the ammunition. Now, that doesn't mean that we can compete effectively against the military or the militarized police. That's a different story. When it comes to one-on-one, there's a lot more of us than there are of them. Now, Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy voted yesterday to say that, yes, it is constitutional to impeach Donald Trump. So I wrote him a little note, shall we say. Here's what I wrote him. Senator, your reasoning today explaining your vote on the Trump impeachment is ridiculous. The question before you was not who presented the better case, which is what he said, folks. I continue, but rather the constitutionality of the impeachment proceeding. You swore an oath to uphold the Constitution and no tortured reasoning on the part of Democrat House managers can change the plain words of the Constitution. Thereby, you failed in your oath to stop the perversion of the Constitution. When I served in the Oregon House, I took my oath seriously. You apparently do not. I and millions of other Americans will not forget. Representative Jeff Krupp retired. I don't expect a response. Every one of you should be doing the same thing. And then he needs to be primaried. And that's exactly what Mark Levin said yesterday. He's 100% correct. He should have primaried. He needs a primary opponent. You got to remember, Cassidy was a Democrat until 2001, folks. We need a strong, constitutional, populist conservative to take him on. And then you and I must get involved as donors, which takes me to this other article, which is the second thing I want to talk about. But before I do, kudos for Detroit, Oregon, getting $1 million to help restore their running water. They need it, folks. It's a story in the Statesman Journal. I'm glad they got it. A couple of other things. There are 14 state attorneys generals that are going to threatening legal action on Biden's cancellation of the Keystone pipeline. I think that's a good thing. We need to start standing up just the way the Democrat attorney generals, including our own in Oregon, constantly filed lawsuits against Trump. Trump lawyer says legal team will be well prepared in the rest of the impeachment trial. Jeez. And by the way, did you hear how Trump offered the National Guard protection for Washington, D.C., but was rejected prior to January 6th? I hope that makes the defense today. And I am profoundly proud of Mike Lindell, and he says that his sales remain strong amid the cancel culture. And then, of course, you gotta love this story. The Dallas Mavericks have decided, basketball team, NBA, have decided they're not going to play the national anthem anymore in their home games. Mark Cuban. Well, I guess I won't be watching any more NBA games. All right. Now listen to this, friends. You're the reason that an enduring populist Republican Party is going to be around long after Donald Trump is gone from the scene. Folks, even if he comes back and wins another election, and I hope and pray he does, someday he's going to be gone. We cannot let the donor class, the establishment class, who's willing to sell our liberties down the river for money, in the Republican Party, take control of it again. And you're going to be the reason why. You're also going to be the reason why Republican conservatives will retake control of Congress. Because it's already happening. Let me give you an example of this. Small dollar conservative donors are stepping up, folks. The Federalists has another story by Gabe Kaminsky today. Here's the headline. Republican senators rake in $8.3 million in January thanks to small dollar donations face planting the corporate boycott threats. That's the headline. The subheadline is, while fear over advertised withdrawal of donations from big name corporations like AT&T, I switched, by the way, from AT&T. I went to Pure Talk. Uses AT&T's towers. I get the same service, paying half as much. Actually, I got better service. And I'm not giving those people any more money. Just like I'm not giving Amazon any more money. Just like I'm not giving Facebook any more money, because I'm leaving Facebook soon, folks. Anyway, AT&T, Nike, Comcast, Dow. That's Dow Chemical. Marriott, Walmart, and Verizon caused a flurry of editorialized articles theorizing about the fiscal troubles of the Republican Party moving forward. And it was for all no to avail. The National Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee, or committee, released their fundraising data for January, showing that they took in $8.3 million, especially bolstered by small-dollar donations. After all of these big corporations said they're no longer going to fund Republicans, remember those Republicans who voted to challenge the election? Guess what? We stepped up. We small dollar donors. Folks, a year ago, the NRSC had 7.6 million cash on hand. Today, they got 17.2. The average gift in January was $32 with 9,073 first time donors, folks. Political action committees have been giving less and less corporate PACs. They can only give 5,000. Trump, he writes, in the Republican fundraising ecosystem, and hang on, callers, Tim and our other caller, because I'm going to get to you in just a second here. You'll have to hang on through the break, because I want to finish this thought, and then we'll get to your phone calls. In the Republican fundraising ecosystem, corporate PACs are becoming largely irrelevant, replaced by the energy and enthusiasm voters have for former President Donald Trump. Trump has converted the party into a broader base of support that has translated into much higher small dollar donations from many more people, as the January NRSC receipts show. The real threat to Republican fundraising, this is key, is therefore congressional Republicans participating in and furthering the retroactive impeachment of Trump. That deeply offends and turns off the small dollar donors who provide the bulk of Republicans' campaign cash and continue to be hugely supportive of Trump. Small dollar donations of less than 200 are now at least half of typical Republican campaign dollars. K Street is losing its grip on the Republican Party while they're consolidating their influence over the Democrats. This is profound, folks. This gets back to our question. Back in a moment. 7 Come on and sing my song all night long.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Stop the car. 22 minutes past the top of the hour. I promise I'd get right to the phones, and we're going to do that right now. We will start with Tim. Tim, good morning.
I'm going to go back to my standard about teaching. We talked about oath of office. I'm assuming the oath of office is both for Democrats and Republicans. So yes. I don't really care as much about what Republicans do. I care about what they all do. Okay, what are we doing with Wyden? I think he's a Democrat, isn't he? Does he have the same oath of office? And if he does, why aren't we talking to him as much as a Republican? It's a good way to teach with that.
Well, we should be, especially. In fact, we ought to be talking to him more than anybody else. Because, first of all, he's coming up for re-election, number one. And, number two, he's our senator. I mean, I emailed Cassidy because I'm outraged by his illogic. And he needs to hear it. And he also needs to understand, and I go right back to the article I just talked about, Tim. Small dollar donors are stepping up to the plate for the Senate. He needs to understand that people like me are not going to forget this, number one. And number two, if he draws a primary opponent, we're going to step up to fund his primary opponent. Nothing scares a politician more than a primary opponent that's got a lot of support, a lot of money, and a lot of support.
I would guess that the small donors are the silent majority. It's us baby boomers. And now you're affecting the things that bother us the most. Increase in minimum wage. It's going to cost me more for my medical, where I live, gas, everything else. So I think the silent majority, the baby boomers, are going to be your small donors. So if you asked me to go raise money for small donors, I'd go to the baby boomers.
I think you're absolutely correct. And in fact, that is going to lead me into the next part of this article about why the left does not understand the impact of Donald Trump. It's a great point, and it's a great segue into that, and I'll get to it later. Tim, I'm going to let you go because I need to move on to the next caller. Caller, thanks for hanging on, by the way, through the break. Who are you?
This is Rich.
Hi, Rich.
Okay. The Socialist Gun Club's only out of Arizona. The John Brown Gun Club is in 36 states. And they are the ones that's the one that got the guy that was, tried to take on the immigration building up there in Washington State. He was John Brown Gun Club. John Brown Gun Club is also, they say, the extreme violent arm of Antifa.
Yeah, that's probably
and,
about
the other
right.
Thing too about
do you agree with my, hang on, do you agree with my thesis, however, that we on the right have got a lot more guns, a lot more ammo, and a lot more training than they do?
When it comes to John Brown Gun Club, I'm not sure. There's another small, a large group out of, California too, but they don't call themselves anything special. I forget the name. But I think we have some of the training, but they're training every weekend. That's why that guy was so well armed up there. The next thing is don't watch, watch out for the Republicans when it comes to gun control, because Rubio's got something coming on that if you are a person of interest and you're found that no, you're not the person of interest, just because you've been the person of interest, you now are not allowed to buy a gun, ever. It's like being on the no-fly list.
Well, then I guess we're going to have to make Rubio's life a living hell.
Well, I'm just saying is that don't count on the – when you look back on it, a lot of times some of the weirdest gun laws against us have come from Republicans.
Yeah, well – that shouldn't be either, and that gets me back to my main point about a populist conservative party.
Yeah.
So those people shouldn't even be in office.
The Republican Party, and with real, well, I guess I'll use an old word. If we don't take back the Republican Party with vigor, we either start another one or we might as well just pack up our bags and hide at home, because this is not going to get any better.
You're exactly right. In fact, it'll get worse.
Yes.
Well said. We have to take back the Republican Party, folks. The Republican Party meeting in Oregon is a week from this coming Saturday, and it's going to be up at the Ames Ranch. If you're a PCP, you need to be up there. And you need to decide who you're going to support, current leadership or a new leadership. Who's going to have a vision that follows on with the populism on the conservative values of Donald Trump? Who's going to have that vision?
Well, I'd restate that. I'd say it's the conservative values of the right that were behind him, whether it was Trump or not. He came up with a great idea. He's done wonderful things for us. he's been treated by like crap from everybody.
Yeah, especially people within our party. Thanks, Rich. I appreciate it. Travis writes me an email, separated from our leader. He says, I admit it, I don't fully understand how the radio business works. My question is, why don't conservative Trump-supporting talk shows like Political Coffee reach out to Trump and air him? Since social media has blacklisted Trump, why can't the radio still be available for his voice to be heard? It's old school for sure, but at least we can still hear from him. It seems that 70-plus million people, about 75 million, are looking for direction and are still looking to Trump as our leader. Yes, you're right. You're absolutely right. And I think he will. I think he's just biding his time till he gets through this trial and arguments in front of the Supreme Court. And then I think he comes back like the Donald Trump fighter we know him to be. No, not time to be fair with Kathy. Gail writes an email about Rebecca. In fact, I've got a couple emails about Rebecca. It says, I wonder if Rebecca can drive down the road or even walk outside. She might get better reception. It's just very hard to hear what she has to say. She has a wealth of knowledge. It would be nice to actually hear her voice. Linda writes an email. Oregon motto is something like, she flies with her own wings, should be changed to legal pot, prostitution, and abortion. Yikes. I've got more emails and more to talk about. Miss Kathy will come back at 7:30. Oh.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes to the top of the hour. We will get back to Kathy in a moment. 503-589-1220 is that Power View GMC talk line. I want to thank also Pro Bioscience. There's this great Salem-based company that makes incredibly effective and beneficial CBD products to make your life better, just like they do mine. You hear me talk about this pain stick, and believe me, when I have pain, that pain stick works to reduce my level of pain pretty profoundly. In fact, it lasts a long time. Like, I've never had any kind of a topical cream of any type, CBD or otherwise, that has lasted as long as the pain stick does. So if you want to try that out, if you want to learn more about all of their great products that are made in Salem and made only from Oregon-grown CBD, which is the highest standards there are, go to their website, pro-bioscience.com. Pro, the dash mark, bioscience.com. If you buy any of their products online, use the discount code Valentine, since it's Valentine's Day month, and you get 15% off. Use the discount code Valentine. Pro-bioscience.com. I just got an email, well, actually not an email, rather a message from a friend on my phone about, you know, this Brian Sicknick officer that they held the light in state at the Capitol. The impeachment charge, you know, he was supposedly killed by a blow to the head by a fire extinguisher. And that's listed as a reason for impeachment in the House impeachment articles. That's all being backtracked right now, folks, officially, by the Capitol Hill police, folks. And what's even weirder is that the story the family started getting phone calls from reporters before they got a phone call that he was even in the hospital. Because he returned, and again, Capitol Hill police now have confirmed this, he returned from the riot to headquarters and texted his brother that he was fine, no issues, just a little teary-eyed from tear gas. That's it. Apparently later now, it's coming out, he had a stroke. At the time that some news outlets were reporting he had died, he was apparently still alive, according to an official press release by the Capitol Hill Police that said media reports regarding the death of a U.S. Capitol Police officer are not accurate. Although some officers were injured and hospitalized yesterday, no USCP officers have passed away. That was at 5:21. Isn't that interesting? And it isn't it interesting that they're backtracking on the narrative? And isn't it interesting that they cannot seem to find any video of Brian Sicknick being hit in the head by anybody? In fact, they're having trouble building a murder case against anybody because they can't seem to find anybody who did it. Because it probably didn't happen. Yet it's now being used in an impeachment article. Oh, and the other people that died, one of them was Ashley Babbitt. And we still don't know which officer fired the shot that killed her. They're withholding that evidence. And the other three people that died, because there were only five, died of natural causes, heart attacks. You gotta love being lied to, except you don't. I will get back to the other incredibly important reason that this conservative populist party has occurred, has happened, and why Trump is the catalyst for it. You do not want to miss this. But first, I need to talk to Kathy. Kathy, good morning. Thanks for hanging on. What do you think today?
Good morning. First, about Sicknick and January 6th. The guy that was filling in for Rush yesterday, I believe it was, I'm not sure, but they brought up the fact that, okay, President Trump, the guy that you love, was a mile away. Would those have been patriots there at the Capitol, or at least listening to his speech? You have one chance to listen to the guy you support, and you're at the Capitol?
Bingo. You just hit the nail on the head.
So I don't know that any of those people were patriots at all. I think they were all listening to Trump.
I think as more and more evidence comes out, Kathy, I think that probably is correct.
Okay, so the other thing was, whoever you were listening to, whether it was Levine or Seb Gorka, about getting into a shooting war. You know, if we did get into a shooting war, it would be militarized by the current administration, and I don't even think we ought to waste our bullets. I think it's irresponsible to say we have more, the conservatives have more guns. Well,
what I meant by that, Kathy, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying we have more guns than the military, although, or even the police, because I think we do. But that's not who we would be fighting, necessarily. We would be fighting the Socialist Rifle Association and the John Brown Gun Club, like Rich talked about. Those are the people we would be fighting in a civil war. That's what I meant.
I know, but...
And they don't have the guns we do.
But you don't think that it would get militarized very quickly?
Depends on who's president. It depends on who's president, because that's the only person that can invoke the Insurrection Act. Congress can't do it.
Right.
Only the president.
Okay, so I'm done.
All right, thanks, Kathy.
Thank you.
Employee who shall never be named writes this. Yes, it is true. We are the reason that would propel a conservative populist Republican Party. But that cuts both ways, doesn't it? Will we also be the reason that a conservative populist Republican Party and constitutional commitment in our state and country falters and fails? The only way that we can be the reason that conservative candidates, initiatives, and ideas win the day in our state and in the country is if we and our Republican leaders aggressively and powerfully act to make it happen. We are the reason that will lead to success and to failure. It is up to us. Couldn't agree with you more. Linda writes an email about donations. Did you say the NRSC went from $7 million to $17 million? I'll be donating directly to candidates. I like not the candidates of the NRSC or the National Republican Committee chooses for me. I unsubscribe to Kevin McCarthy. And what have you heard lately from Ronna McDaniel? Great point. I completely agree with you. And let me say this. Very soon, I'm going to be giving you a list of people, mostly primary challengers to the 10 House Republicans who voted for impeachment. I'm going to be giving you a list of them and how you can make donations to them, because I'm going to do that myself. Okay? And I'm going to donate directly to the candidates. I agree. The National Republican Senatorial Committee is ran by the swamp creature, Mitch McConnell. And the NRSC, or the NRSCC, the Congressional Committee, the House side, is run by McCarthy. I'm not giving those people any money. I'm going to give directly to a conservative candidate who is challenging these Republicans. That's who I'm going to give to. And I'm going to ask you to join me. Now, I'm going to get to, here's the second reason, and this is profound, from this article that is the genesis of our question today. Our main question is about, has Trump created an enduring populist conservative GOP? It's in The Federalist. It's entitled, Why the Left Can't Understand Trump and His Populism. Here's the key. What if the driving imperative Chris Hayes wrote in this piece that is the subject of this, not the author of The Federalist article, but he's referencing this piece by far-left liberal MSNBC host Chris Hayes, says, what if the driving imperative for the large majority of voters, but particularly for those in the aggrieved right, is that they want their people in control? Question. Danielson, who's the author of this article, answers, the answer is that the driving imperative, now listen to this, for the large majority of GOP voters is that they want to be left alone, and they know an increasingly radicalized Democratic Party won't ever leave them alone. Marginal policy agreements, Danielson writes, or compromises aren't enough to overcome the reality. Well, let me get to that and our callers. Guys, hang on to the break. 7:48. We'll be right back.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
The concluding thoughts from this piece today, and then our phone calls. The policy gap between what we conservative Republicans believe is right, not the donor class, not the globalists, not our Republican Party leaders, but what we believe is right. That gap is growing with the radical ideas of the Democratic Party. In fact, it's not narrowing. It's getting bigger. And there is a larger part of the Republican Party, and I'm going to say other people outside the party, that are drawn to Trumpism, as the writer calls it, because it doesn't shy. Trumpism does not shy away from opposing Democrat efforts to dismantle our constitutional system. You look at everything they're trying to do, and that's exactly what's happening. Packing the Supreme Court, admitting D.C. and Puerto Rico as states, packing the Senate, forcing transgenderism down our throats, and everything else. He continues, that's not opposition driven by resentment. It's opposition driven by renewed conservatism. Trump helped with that renewal by forcing a reckoning between diverging factions of the GOP, but he is not the focus or its end. What's likely to emerge in a post-Trump Republican Party is a populist conservatism committed to protecting our borders, our industries, and the unborn. It will also be intent on defending things like the U.S. Senate and the Electoral College, the last constitutional checks on a Democratic Party that wants to impose a far-left agenda on the entire country. Everything I just said there, folks, is what has drawn 75 million people to vote for Donald Trump. Because the donor class didn't. And neither did a lot of the globalist elite Republicans. They hate him. And by extension, they hate us. This is why we will win. And you should be encouraged, folks. Let's go to the phones. We'll start with Art, and then we'll move on to our other caller. Art, you're back.
Hey, Jeff. That's a lot of fun, no doubt about it. Number one, I wanted to say I'm not going to give any money to anyone right now because I believe that Trump is busily putting together his Make America Greater Again pack and is going to actively raise money to clean out the swamp. And that was one of the reasons that he had McCarthy come to Mar-a-Lago, because he wanted to feel him out to see, okay, buddy, are you going to do what's right? Are you going to remain part of the swamp? You going to help me clean it up and do the right thing or not? And so I'm not going to give any money until, and this is my prediction, Jeff, as soon as the impeachment trial's over, Trump is going to be back with a vengeance. He's going to have his pack to put candidates into place who want to make America great, are not interested in special interests. They're interested in doing the right thing. And this is how Trump is going to clean out the swamp. And so that's my prediction. We'll see what happens. That's why he wanted.
Well, I think you're right, Art. And you know what? I'm going to join him because The candidates, Donald Trump no longer, and I'm going to let you go because I need to move to the next caller. Donald Trump will no longer be constrained by having to support rhinos to curry favor with McCarthy and McConnell. He won't. He'll be absolutely free to support conservative populists like him that buy into the Make America Greater Again, I like that, agenda. You're right on the money. And I'm going to help him. And, folks, I hope you will, too. Let's go to our next caller. Caller, who are you, and good morning.
Good morning, Jeff. This is Gail. I have two things. I want to apologize for being so emotional last time I called in about the vaccines. I'm still very emotional about this, but I won't holler at you.
And I appreciate
the second
that. Thank
thing.
You.
Oh, go ahead.
No, thank you. I appreciate you not yelling at me.
Good. The second thing is that, yes, Rick and I are waiting, not necessarily waiting. We're supporting the Trump, the people that Trump is supporting, but we're doing it in addition to what we would do normally, we're doing more with our stimulus visa card. We've dedicated that to supporting some of these people who we know Trump supports, President Trump supports. So that was just my idea.
I like it. I think it's a good idea. Gail, and thank you, by the way, and I appreciate all the emails you sent me about the vaccines, and keep them coming. I don't get
good.
To read them all,
thank
but
you.
I am very interested. Okay? And I mean that
yes.
sincerely.
Good. Thank you, Jeff.
And thank you to both you and Rick for just being faithful in your faith, number one. And number two is in your faithfulness to be active and to be doing things in
God
a lot
bless
of realms.
You.
I'm very grateful for you guys for doing that. Thank you. Friends, in that regard, here's what has to happen. You have to keep praying. And for those of you who are not people of faith, this is not anything judgmental. I'm sorry. But as a person of faith, I think this is incredibly important. Tonight, our church, Life Bible in Harrisburg, is not conducting our normal Wednesday night service. Tonight is completely devoted to praying for our government at all levels. I want to encourage you to do that if you're not doing it in your church. Go to your pastor, your reverend, your priest, your rabbi. Ask them to allow you to do this in the church. And then ask them to simply announce it during your worship services whenever you have them. This is critical. We must pray. We need divine intervention. The other thing is you have to do is you have to be active. You have to do things. Listening to this radio show is a great start, but you also have to make contributions. And I mean this. If millions of people who believe that this nation's in danger, if millions of us will support the right candidates all across the country, we can defeat Wall Street money to the left. We can defeat globalist money to the Republicans, the establishment that really hates us. We can beat them. That's only part of it. There's more. 7:59, Stacey ends up next with Good Morning Salem. Folks, I'll see you tomorrow. Be blessed.